I lie down on the floor in a very typically dramatic Lauren-esque way, which was much more so than in my 20s. He pulls off my snow boots and boom, somebody comes into the apartment and there was this woman there. And I remember being like, what? Who are you? And she was like, she said something like, ich wohne hier, was machst du in meiner Wohnung?
Welcome to One Day in Vienna. Our guests today, myself, Lauren Löw.
Name Lauren Löw, Geburtsland Großbritannien, Ankunft in Wien 2008, Familienstand, verheiratet, zwei Kinder, Beruf, Designerin und Inhaberin des Schmucklabels Hairs.
I'm your host, Lauren Löw, and welcome to this podcast, where we're going to be uncovering those memorable anecdotes about this magical city that, let's face it, we all love and hate in moments. The expats featured in this show will be enlightening us as to how they navigate becoming a local in Vienna, often with a splattering of hilarious culture clashes to boot.
Welcome to our podcast, One Day in Vienna. I am Mitter Pitzek, the founder of Ines Institute Vienna, the German language school in Vienna. And we are running a podcast dealing with one day in Vienna, or your first day in Vienna. And we want to share the memories on this very special day with all expats in Vienna. And today, my very special guest is Lauren Löw, who is at the same time the host of our podcast.
She's the founder of Hairs. Maybe you can spell it for us, Lauren. Welcome to our podcast.
Thank you. It's lovely to be here on the other side of the chair.
How are you spelling the company that you founded?
Hairs, as in geerbt in German. Hairs, mm-hmm. Inherited. H-E-I-R-S. Mm-hmm. But most people call it Hairs, and I'm kind of used to that now. I can roll with that. That's okay.
Wonderful. Thank you. Lauren, could you please share with us your memories about what brought you to Vienna? Was it love or work?
So actually, this is a question which I realize so many people come here for love, and I didn't. I did come here for love. I came here to help my sister, who was setting up a little project at the time called Elephant and Castle, which is a lovely cafe still available on the Neuburgasse. And I came to help her with a bit of the setting up of it. And then, of course, I fell in love and I stayed. So yes, and that was in 2008, but I'm not with that person anymore. So my life has changed in the last 15 years. But I moved here, for my sister in 2008.
So if I understand that, it was at that time twice a love, the love to your sister.
Right.
And then later the love
Definitely.
You found here.
Still two of the so most, a lot the biggest loves love. In my life.
And the third one was then Vienna, hopefully.
So actually, I did not have a very big love of the city. After interviewing people now, I realize so many people saw Vienna and fell madly in love, or they had a job here that was really fixed and friends here. I had none of that when I first moved here. For me, I had my sister, and then after a few weeks of helping her out, I met my then boyfriend at the time. I had one friend who I made in that time. So for me, I didn't really get Vienna when I first moved here. I was like, really? I mean, what's this about? It was very dark. It was. I moved here in that November. There was November in 2008, which was very, very cold. And I don't know why, but of course I had to move to Vienna in that time. And it was freezing. And I remember thinking, it's dark, people are not friendly, and it's freezing. What am I doing here? I'll go straight back to London once this is finished. But I didn't.
Great. It's always better joining Vienna in spring or in summer.
Right. If you can choose that. I never get people to visit in winter.
But you're joining it in winter and you're freezing. But I hope you have other nice, interesting memories on your first day in Vienna that you would like to share with us.
So I'm going to share a slightly different experience of Vienna, because now I'm in Vienna. I miss Vienna, love Vienna. I have great friends. It's a really positive, wonderful place to grow in. But when I first moved to Vienna, as I said, it was that winter and it was dark. And my first day of Vienna was a lot of strange interactions. So I... I came from London. I was working in advertising after I'd studied. So I was very London-y. And I moved here with my friends. So I had my friend Katie helping me from London. I was in my early 20s, so I didn't have much money. And she had agreed to come, you know, with a backpack. And I had a suitcase. And we flew from Stansted to Bratislava on Ryanair. So I have all the possessions which I need to live for the next 6 months, say, in these bags. And I'd also secured myself a flat. And so we were coming back from Bratislava. And it had been a really long journey. And then we got on a bus from Bratislava to Vienna. And so hours and hours later, cheap airline feel later, exhaustion later, and snow and sludge later, we arrive in my what I had then thought was an incredibly gorgeous apartment. Now, in retrospect, had realized it probably wasn't as great as I thought it was, but it was a good 90 square meters and it cost me probably 300 to 350 a month. So it was winning, you know. My boyfriend there, Jakob, to help us. And I lie down on the floor in a very typically dramatic Lauren-esque way, which was much more so than in my 20s. He pulls off my snow boots and boom, somebody comes into the apartment and there was this woman there. And I remember being like, what? Who are you? And she was like, she said something like, ich wohne hier, was magst du in meiner Wohnung? Or something like this. And she was just dressed in a really, you know, night vibe, I would say, and was definitely over 50, which was a bit of a shock, I have to say, when you're in your 20s, you know. And in London, you do not confront people who are scary, or especially not people who are in your apartment, you know. And the first thing I remember thinking was like, does she live here? Is like, like, does she live in this apartment? I was like, oh. So there I am, lying on the floor with my legs up in the air. Jakob's pulling them off. Katie's just looking in complete bewilderment, like, what is happening here? And Jakob slowly ushers her out of the apartment, like, nein, du wohnst nicht hier sicher. Das ist meine Freundswohnung. Okay. And she goes back and back. But she kept knocking for like a good 15, 20 minutes saying that she lived here and stuff. And in the end, we'd figured out that she perhaps didn't have the best sense of direction or time, because it was often very early in the morning that she thought she lived in the apartment. But she just definitely lived one or two stories above. So in the end, we were kind of like, no, Brenda, you don't live here. You live upstairs. Popped her in the lift. And she became this kind of sort of slightly, I don't want to say charming, but like sweet addition to the house, rather than this very scary initial meeting. But then I left Katie and Jakob in the apartment and I went to go and get my spare keys from my friend Rafi, who was, as I said, the only other person who I knew apart from my sister and Jakob in the city. And I went down to the Nash Market and it was just on the like the 53A or the 57A bus. And so I'd had this really awkward encounter with this woman. And then my second shift of the day, you know, welcome to Vienna, was I met this, I was on the bus and I was sitting at the back and there was this woman sitting sort of facing me and she looked kind of, you know, a bit dodgy, a bit sketchy. But, you know, I'm from London. I'm used to that. That's not anything new for me. And she's sort of trying to engage with me. And I was thinking, no, just don't make eye contact. Just leave it. You know, I'd noticed at this point that there were quite a few characters in the city and people just ignore them. You know, that's normal. But then I decided I was starting to feel a bit uncomfortable. I had my headphones in and then I got off the bus, I think one stop before the Nash Market. And suddenly something hit me from behind. And I remember being like, what is happening here? I'm being mugged or have I been hit by a bike or something like this? And this woman had got off the bus and had, I don't know what she'd done, hit me with a bag or something. And once I sort of found my feet, you know, it was snowy, it was very scary, it was very sludgy. I collected myself and, you know, she was sort of looking at me sort of like slightly wickedly, like swinging this little bag. And I thought, what's going to happen next? Have I made the right choice? Do I want to be here? And so I finally managed to meet my friend, Rafi, this amazing, wonderful man who helped me for my first year in Vienna, at least, just like an incredible friend. And you know what was really crazy about the situation? he was like, oh, I think I got kicked by her once. And I remember thinking, like, this is just a completely normal thing that happens. Really strange interactions happen in the city every single day. And they're not actually very dangerous, let's be honest. Most of the time, people are just really strange characters, or they're grumpy, or they're a bit strange if you're from a different country. And that was just not even an event for him. Oh, yeah, I think she kicked me once, you know. So I was thinking, oh, my God, oh, my God.
So that was your cultural clash?
Oh, I've had so many since. Gosh, don't get me started. For example, FKK culture.
Oh.
That was definitely a cultural clash for an English person. Note to self, go to the Donauinsel at your peril with your parents. My mum nearly
What is FKK?
Attack.
Is it a research institution? Oh.
So FKK is free body culture, which is not a very English thing. I'm not sure how it is in Serbia, but in England, no. You would be arrested for walking around with your dangly bits everywhere.
Separate your soul from your body.
Yes.
Free your body.
I actually heard it was like a post-war movement, but I still think people just love to get their kit off here and, you know, be in public. Mm-hmm. So, and it's, you're considered a bit uptight if you're not okay with it. So I'm the uptight person, getting used to it after 15 years still.
And this become your favorite place in Vienna?
Exactly. Right. So the Donauinsel has become my favorite place in Vienna.
So when your friends from UK visit you, you show them Donauinsel.
Do you know what's funny? My friend fell off her bike once when we were on the Donauinsel because she was so shocked. Bless her.
Hopefully not in the naked area.
No. I actually have to say it's grown on me. I've become much more relaxed about lots of things, which, you know, when you come from a place, you think that's the way things are. And then when you've lived in a different culture for a while and you speak a different language, I think you start to undo a lot of things which you grew up with that you thought were right and actually find out what's right for you. So for me, it absolutely does not bother me. My Schwiegereltern, for example, are very comfortable being around me with no clothes on. I'm used to that now.
Is Schwiegereltern your favorite German word?
No. Oh, so I have lots and lots of favorite German words. And one of them does come from my Schwiegermama, and that is Teufel. When my kids grab something that's dirty or say kaka or something, oh, my Schwiegermama, she always goes, Teufel.
That's very special.
Or I love Sapalot.
Sapalot ist ein Wort, das man im deutschsprachigen Raum benutzt, wenn man sehr überrascht oder erstaunt ist. Man kann es in verschiedenen Situationen sagen, zum Beispiel wenn man sich freut, aber auch wenn man ärgerlich oder enttäuscht ist. Dieses Wort hört man oft in Bayern, Schwaben, im alemannischen Gebiet und in Österreich. Je nachdem, wie man es ausspricht, kann es unterschiedliche Bedeutungen haben. Ah, verdammt, ach, papalapap, guter Gott, verflixt und zugenäht, zum Kuckuck, alle Achtung, Glück gehabt.
Okay. Or Urwurm, I think this is an amazing word. Urwurm describes when you have a song that's catchy and it's stuck in your head. And I think that's such a good analogy of it. That's
Can you translate it in English?
Earworm.
Yes.
So a little worm eating through your head of this song. It's so accurate.
What would be the English expression for
song? We don't have these really utilitarian words for things. We'd say like catchy. It's a catchy song, or I've got this song stuck in my head. But it's not this graphic idea of a worm, you know, like crawling through your ear. And I also love Vorfreude. Vorfreude oder Freude, Freunde, all these kind of words to describe joy before you do something. I think that's just lovely. And also the fact that you've even got a word to describe an emotion before you do something. I often say to my husband things like, oh, let's talk about this. It gives me such a Vorfreude. And I love that. So I really have to say, after an initial clash with the German language, I do love Austrian German, and I'm married to an Upper Austrian, so they have a lot of words in dialect, which I do also really love, I have to say. And that things like Alice in an Upper Austrian would be Ois, so they don't put any of the consonants in the word and they just use the vowels and then add the last consonant. So Alice, oh, danke for Alice. Danke for Ois. Love that.
Which places in Vienna, which favorite places would you show to your friends visiting you from UK?
I have so many favorite places in the city now, but I do. So I'm with you with the First District. That's really gorgeous all times of year, just to see the different characters there as well. I often think, like, do people in the First District live here? Like, you know, they just don't seem like people that I would meet in the Third District where I live. But I do love places where you get like a real mix of the new Vienna and the old Vienna. And so I really love this area between Erste Campus and the city on the Gürtel, because for me, it's like this new meets old. And I think that that's quite a nice vision for Vienna of the future. I think there are a lot of new things which are coming into the city that are complementing the old mm-hmm. of the city, which wasn't when I first moved here, I have to be honest.
Wonderful. Thank you very much for sharing your Viennese life and insight with us. At the end, may I ask you a very personal question? All questions have been personal, but this one is special.
More personal?
More personal.
I feel like I just gave you my whole life story.
Are you a Brexit refugee?
Well, do you know what? I did actually get married just after Brexit.
Okay, so you are.
No, actually, it was the timing. I have to say, Brexit was, did have quite a big impact mm-hmm. on me. Luckily, I'd been here and I was somebody who was valued within the system. And I do have children mm-hmm. here. But mm-hmm. there's no place like home. But right now, I don't want to be there.
Yes. Well, thank you.
So thank you so much for interviewing me today, Mita.
Well, I thank you for a very interesting insight into your Viennese life.
Thank you so much for having me.
You love Vienna too and want to learn German? Innes Vienna will get you there. Vienna's best language school offers a variety of courses and trainings at different levels, at different times, and at different intensities. All information about Innes Vienna and today's guests can be found in the show notes. And there we also explain all other German words, terms, and Viennese areas from this episode. Thanks for listening. Auf Wiederhören.